You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, it's David Baer here, and you're listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. On today's episode, I have the great pleasure of speaking with Joe Balestrino, who, as we were just talking before I hit record, has been working in the pay-per-click ad and search engine optimization space. He's well into his second decade doing this. He's been the owner of firms that have done this for people. He's been the head of departments that have done this for large and small brands. And he's joining me today to talk about pay-per-click advertising, search engine optimization, and who knows what else. Joe, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So I want to talk very briefly about kind of the SEO, PPC in a broad sense for a small business owner out there. You know, we have a lot of folks in the professional services space, financial advisors, attorneys, et cetera, who know that they need to get business in and understand that these things exist, but don't necessarily know, hey, is this right for me, or what's really involved? Is this the right channel or path for me? Can you talk about those two areas and qualify them for businesses like that?
Well, you know, when we talk about SEO and PPC, especially for things like, you know, for service-based businesses like attorneys, in my mind, the way I do it for myself and the way I handle it for clients is, in my mind, there's two ways people search. Right. They know they want an attorney and they're going to Google, I need a, you know, litigation attorney, and they're going to Google that. But regardless of what the service is, usually before somebody knows they want a service, they're either going to try it themselves, they're going to research a topic, or they're going to look up something on the internet to see, oh, you know, should I hire somebody, or can I do this myself, or how do I choose the right provider for what I need to do? And so to me, a good rounded strategy is to cover both, right? I want to get somebody who's early in their research phase that's Googling, you know, how do I do SEO, or how do I set up a Google Ads campaign, or how do I manage my Google Ads campaign, and give them the information to where they either feel like the information is good enough for them to try it. And a lot of times in my experience, if you educate people and, you know, they get good results, they immediately come back to you and they say, hey, I tried what you gave out for free and it worked. I want to hire you. And then there's people who automatically know that they want to hire a Google Ads expert. So you want to make sure you show up for that, or you're paying to be in that spot, because that's where people, you know, those are what we call money terms, where people are going to search those terms because they know they need a person to help them.
That's interesting. So you're talking about kind of two different levels of the prospect's awareness of the problem that they're having, or the level of commitment that they have to moving forward with making an appointment or making a purchase, and that you want to attack it from both ends, which I haven't heard before in your space. So this is appropriate, as I understand it, for both search engine optimization, right? Getting found organically when search results, and also the pay-per-click, the ads that might show up when somebody types something into a search engine.
Right. So there's two ways to go about it. Right. So when somebody's doing, you know, they're researching, they're either looking for, you know, where can I go with this? What can I do myself? I'm sorry, I lost train of thought there.
That's okay. Well, so what I was talking about, sort of their decision-making process, whether in this case, like somebody is just beginning to do the research. And you brought up an interesting point, which is, can I do it myself? Can I get away with not having to spend money on it? And that you would recommend to a business that they actually try to show up in front of those searches is how I understood what you were saying.
Right. So, when it comes to businesses starting, right, sometimes they have a budget, they don't have a budget. And so when they think SEO, they immediately think, oh, I need to go after the term that's going to bring business. But ideally, we don't really know what those keywords are. Like, I deal with clients all the time who say, I want to rank for this keyword. And then you spend all of this money to rank for a keyword that ultimately doesn't bring you any business. And just because you rank for a term doesn't mean that it's going to bring you business. So what I like to do is I like to combine SEO and PPC. So if I'm using money to drive traffic, Google will tell me if I'm tracking all my metrics that, you know, I'm spending money on this keyword and this keyword has generated this many leads for me at this much business. Now I know that these keywords work. I have a solid, you know, working model. I can then take that and turn it into an SEO strategy. And then in the meantime, since keywords can be competitive when it comes to, you know, money terms like, you know, litigation lawyer or, you know, whatever marketing consultant, the long tail strategy is going after questions that people are searching that will lead them to uncovering that they need to hire someone to do this. So if they were, again, I don't keep meaning to call out the attorneys, but like being an attorney is something that's complicated. So someone may be researching, you know, do I need an attorney for this situation? Or what type of attorney do I hire for this problem? And now you're educating them because it's easier to rank for that term because it's long tail, there's more words, more keywords in that title. So it's easier to rank for, and you're still getting in front of the right audience. So you don't always have to, you know, focus on the highly competitive keywords that may or may not bring you business. But if you combine the paid strategy to get the information on the keywords that do work while you're doing the strategy of SEO going after longer tail keywords that aren't as competitive, you can kind of meet in the middle with both.
So as I understand it, and you know, anybody who is an SEO expert like you develops your expertise both from sort of watching what Google or Bing or any of the other search engines, you tell me if any of those other search engines are actually important or not beyond Google, but that you're watching and you're understanding what they're doing. And then they actually come out and give you a few hints and reports and guidelines for how to help your clients. But I'm curious, when you have a client benefiting from the type of traffic that you've just talked about, right? They come to a website to read an article that answers one of those questions that you posed. Is there SEO benefit to the business doing something on their website, like capturing the lead and bringing them back to the website for further activity, like, you know, getting an appointment made or sending them, you know, more blog posts? Does that help with the SEO for that site's domain overall? Is there benefit there?
I don't know much if it helps influence the SEO if somebody comes back. But I think for the brand, for your brand recognition, like if you're a website that shows up a lot for similar searches, you become known as the expert in that field, in that location or whatever it is. And that's kind of how I get on, interviewed by CNBC, NBC, NPR, is because I rank and I have a lot of content that talks about that. If you Google SEO expert New York, I show up, and a lot of these news organizations are in New York and they're looking for an SEO expert to talk to them. So I'm optimized for that. And then having those logos from those companies on my website adds to my credibility, and that helps me get even more exposure. So I think, and you know, not to get off track, but like with SEO and PPC, there's kind of two different trains of thoughts. For PPC, when you send somebody to a landing page, most times we don't care about someone joining a newsletter or following us on social media, because the end goal is we're spending cold hard cash to get someone to a landing page. We want them to become a lead. And if they don't, then maybe on the way out when they exit, we try to capture something, or we retarget them, you know, to them afterwards. But with SEO, it's like, yeah, I mean, you're here. If you're on a blog post, then sure, we want you to subscribe to a newsletter, or we want you to download a free ebook or report, because we know that people coming on that, you know, stage of the marketing is not ready to buy. They're still in the research. So for us, we want to kind of get more engagement with them by doing that. Where on the paid side, it's we're going after terms where somebody needs something, and, you know, regardless of what it is, we want them to reach out to become a lead, versus, you know, the blog strategy, which is more about, you know, touch points and trying to be on top of mind.
is there some benefit to keeping somebody on a website for a longer period of time when they click through from SEO?
For Google, yes, because for Google, if you're on the first page, and let's say you're in position four, and somebody goes on your website and they're spending more time in that, you know, on your website than they are on average in position two, to Google, that might be, oh, you know, your content is more engaging, and people, which tells Google that people maybe spend, you know, maybe finding what they're looking for, and that could improve your performance, right? Because we assume that Google's looking at what we call pogo sticking, where if somebody goes to a listing and then automatically bounces back to a search result, then goes back into another website and then stays there, Google may think that the first website is not ranking for the right term, or it's not resonating with the searcher, and therefore the second listing they went to was better, and that can influence, you know, positioning and ranking.
And for the business owner who's not necessarily aware of how all this gets tracked, is this tracked through the browser? Is this tracked through the fact that they have like Google Analytics installed on their website? How does Google know how long somebody is hanging out on their website?
Two ways, and you said both of them. You Google Analytics, because it's free. I mean, that's part of the reason why Google made it free, so they can collect all of this data. And then if you're using something like Chrome, which is owned by Google, Google's also looking there. So Google has many ways to get that data. And if you're doing Google Ads and you don't have Google Analytics and you're using Google Ads tracking, Google has that data as well.
Got it. Okay. I want to go back to what you just mentioned about the stuff that you have done in your business, because, you know, I think I first encountered you when I saw something related to a comment that our most recent past president made about Google or the search engines gaming the system. And you showed up in the news commenting on it. And you must have done something strategic, as you mentioned a moment ago, to actually get that call. You explained a little bit about how that all worked, but you have probably a more in-depth strategy than you've explained so far. I wonder if you can dive into that a little bit further.
Well, when it comes to those news organizations, like I have a strategy that I like to use, and it's getting in front of the media as much as I possibly can, whether it's being on podcasts. I use a service called Help a Reporter Out, which is H-A-R-O.
I think it's H-A-R-O. Peter Shankman's thing. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of news organizations are always looking for, you know, experts to comment on things for their news stories. And then I use that as well. And then any other, you know, exposure that I can get outside. But it's really nothing more than just ranking for your keywords, providing content. You know, I help other organizations out. I do. I work with non-for-profits. Sometimes I'll donate my time to nonprofits to help them either rank better organically or manage their Google Ads account to help them. And I feel like, you know, the more I do to help people, the more it kind of comes back, you know. And it, like I said, a lot of these news organizations, they're in New York City. And, you know, a lot of my content ranks for, you know, expert, you know, Google expert in New York.
And you're not just doing these things anonymously. I mean, working with a nonprofit, hopefully there is some way that you're getting credit for that, that people in you know, search engine land can see, I'm hoping.
Yeah. So what I'll typically do is I'll just ask them to, you know, either, you know, give me a recommendation on LinkedIn or put a link on their About Us page. So for a nonprofit and for most websites, Google pays attention to the About Us page, because whether you're doing paid search, SEO, the About Us page is probably one of the most trafficked pages that people go to, because whenever someone wants to do business with someone, they want to understand what the business is about, who they're doing business with, who owns it, who's working, you know, why was it started? And so I ask for a link on that page to say, you know, Joe's, you know, helped us with the Google Ads management. If you have a nonprofit or something like that that needs support, you know, please contact Joe. He's highly recommended, or whatever they want to say, and then link back to my website so that, you know, I get some, you know, a vote from Google and also traffic, right? A lot of times people think, You know, back in the day, everything was about how many links can you get? You know, where can you get them from? It didn't matter where you were getting them from. And to me, it's being on a site that's going to bring me business is more important to me than if it's a follow link or a no follow link, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's about who's vouching for me and who's saying something positive for me and to me that's going to help me more than just, you know, getting that link.
Yep, makes total sense. And so, you know, there's lots of folks in your space who are probably knocking on the door or relentlessly emailing business owners saying, we can get you ranked for XYZ, or the unscrupulous email that we all get, which is like, hey, I was just on your site and I noticed that you weren't ranking well for your keywords. Like they even know what keywords you want to be ranking for. I can help you out. So I'm curious to know, I mean, I'm sure you have a strong opinion about what I've just mentioned, so I can let you talk about that. But I'm curious to know, in general, what, because you brought this up earlier, what is appropriate for a business to do and themselves, like you were talking about when people do searches, right? They're searching for how can I get this done myself? And at what point, you know, is it right for them to be thinking, hi, I probably need to be calling in an expert to help with this?
Well, I think if you, most businesses, they're not tracking anything, right? So, you know, yeah, Google took away our ability to see what keywords our website ranks for, but what I look at as an SEO person is I look at which pages are driving traffic. And if conversions are set up, like if you have Google Analytics, you can set up conversion data. I want to see which pages people are coming in and which pages they're converting on. And that gives me an idea of, now I can go and find out what keywords this page possibly ranks for, where we rank for them, and, you know, try to figure out a strategy from there. But if you don't know how many conversions you're getting, where they're coming from, how they're coming, if they're sporadic, one week you get 20 conversions and 20 leads, and then the next 6 weeks you don't get anything, something's not right. So you want to bring in somebody who's going to help you not only go after the keywords that automatically drive business, that lead people to needing an expert or a company, but also a strategy that supports it. Because a lot of times when other people write blog posts or they're doing some kind of research, they're Googling these questions. And a lot of times, like years ago, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, you know, part of the SEO strategy was going out and getting backlinks. Like, where can I get backlinks from? I need backlinks. And I realized over the last maybe 2 years, 3 years, my SEO backlink strategy is just creating great blog content. Like, if my content is really optimized and it ranks really well for questions and it's really informative, people will link to it. And then I can use those links inside, you know, that are coming to that blog post to point to my service pages, which helps boost the rankings of those pages. So I'm not doing anything outside of Google's guidelines. I'm not doing any gray hat, you know, SEO. I'm just providing useful, helpful content that's going to then help support, you know, my overall SEO strategy.
So what I heard in your answer was, A, you have to know what you're looking for to know if you're successful or not. B, you have to be at least partially, if not fully entrenched in the data science of it all. And then C, if you want great backlinks, create great content.
Yes.
Okay.
Content is king, right? And it's king. It's king for a reason. Not to get hung up on backlinks, a lot of people will say, you know, it's really hard to get backlinks. I don't know what to do. And I don't know how to get exposure for my company. And like, the best strategy I can come up with is what we're doing right now. So if you do a podcast, even if you do it by yourself, right, and you got a Zoom and you recorded yourself speaking and you stripped the audio, and you took the audio and you made a podcast out of it, and you put the YouTube, you know, the video on YouTube and Vimeo, and then you took that and you turned it into a blog post, Now you have one piece of material that you've created, and now you've created multiple media pieces that can go in other places that can help either gain exposure to your business or to what you do, and also bring in incoming links and get you more exposure to be on other shows and things like that. So, you know, and sometimes we take articles and we turn them into PDFs or downloadable content, or but as you and I were speaking before the show, like I wrote a book basically out of blog posts. I wrote blog posts about e-commerce, you know, marketing, and I just took all those posts, combined them into a book, and you know, sell it and give it away to customers. So there's a lot you can do with just, you know, creating one piece of content.
Right. And then repurposing it. That's a brilliant approach. And one that I think a lot of folks think, gosh, that's going to take a lot of time. But in fact, it saves a lot of time. And there's probably plenty of outsourcers who can do all of that work for you as well. So you mentioned creating great content to get backlinks. And I'm assuming that there's some characteristics of the types of content that people are looking to say, that's something I want to link to. I'm guessing, you know, statistics that are quoted, or I'm trying to think where I've seen stuff linked to before, case studies. What other things are probably the most the best opportunities to get somebody to say, I want to link to this?
A lot of times it's how-to stuff. Right. So everybody wants to learn how to do something. And I usually find if I get a piece of content, even if it's complicated and I can make it really simple, even if they can't do it, the fact that it's there and it's laid out in detail, that leads to business. I like to put together, you know, maybe a deck and do a presentation and add a video to the piece of content. So now if somebody doesn't want to read the content and they want to view the content, it's still, you know, time on the page. Sometimes people will take the video and put it on their website, which is fine. So to me, it's like how to screenshots, video. You know, I've done podcasts where I take the, you know, I've written an article, you know, about a certain topic and then done a podcast on it and then put the audio on top of the blog post so they can listen to it. And then the article is, you know, additional content that maybe I didn't cover in the blog post or just more detail. And that's kind of the content that people link to because it's informative and it's, and again, stats, anything that you can come up with, interactive things, you know, some organizations, they do interactive charts that people can change metrics to see what, you know, certain, you know, things that they want to view more specifically. So usually, in my opinion, in my experience, like how-to stuff is really, you know, a good way to go.
So I mentioned at the top of the show, you have, you know, run your own organization, you've run teams within other organizations, and now you're freelancing, helping as a consultant on a lot of projects and doing direct client work. Who do you work with most?
Who do I work? A lot of consultants, a lot of big companies that are just trying to figure out their marketing. You know, a lot of times it's they're running Google ads and, you know, the performance is stalled or the cost per lead has gone up or it's just flat. Same thing with SEO. A lot of times consultants don't really know how to, like, what keywords to go after, or, you know, it's hard when you're a consultant. Like, I'll give you an example, like what I do. I'm an SEO PPC guy, but I may do SEO for certain industries or PPC for certain industries or, you know, something like that. So to me, it's like, if you can segment your business into certain areas, you have more chance to reach more people. And a lot of times they'll take everything they do and put it on one landing page. And then that limits their ability to grow their SEO because they're relying on putting everything on one page when they should be breaking it out to more specific types. It's like having software. If you had a software that did accounting and sent invoices and did a bunch of other things, you would want to kind of break those out into each individual thing. So if somebody was looking just for invoicing software, well, guess what? Your software does that. If your software does, you know, accounting, then, you know, that's another thing that somebody might want to look for. And if having those separate pages gives you more opportunity to bring in traffic instead of just, you know, funneling everything on one single
page. Right. And so I'm actually looking at your website right now, and I see if I click on industries, you have specific industries listed out there, roofers or movers, law firms, publishers. So areas that you have the ability to attract the attention from that you would like to be working with, it sounds like.
Well, and also like every industry has its own challenges, right? Like attorneys, they have certain challenges that publishers don't. Publishers, mm-hmm. their challenges, you know, our content doesn't rank well, or we can't get into Google News, or we need to train our editorial staff. That's totally different than what an attorney needs. An attorney needs somebody who's going to help them, you know, get in front of the target audience, or they want to show up for, you know, a certain type of law or you know, litigation lawyer or something like that in their location. So they have different needs. So having a different pages lets you target specifically that audience and to address their main concerns, because every industry has different concerns. And so the more specific you can get on their issues, the more likely they are to reach out to you, because then they feel like you understand what they're struggling with. Where if you just have a generic page that's supposed to cover every industry or every problem you come across, it's not going to resonate with certain people because it doesn't speak to them specifically.
I love that response, because it demonstrates that you really do have a grasp on the strategic rather than simply the tactical approach to building out website content and search engine optimization. So, Joe Balestrino, let's give folks an opportunity to find you if they want to follow up with you. You've already mentioned you're on LinkedIn. Where else can they come and find you?
They can visit my website, joebalestrino.com. They can come there, check out the podcast, blog posts, or contact me about, you know, any questions or any, you know, concerns that they have, but that would be the place.
Awesome. I'll make sure to leave a link to that, as well as is your book available online as well?
The book is available on Amazon. There's a couple of them. If anyone reaches out to me on my website and they tell me that they heard me on the show, I'll give them a free digital copy.
Excellent. Well, we will make sure to leave a link to the website, and there is a big, bold Contact Joe button right at the top of the page so that you can reach out to Joe yourself. So, Joe Balestrino, thanks so much for hanging out and chatting about search engine optimization, PPC, and a few other little hints and tricks that you've shared with us today.
Thanks a lot. It was fun. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Indeed. Folks, you've been listening to More Perfect Marketing. I appreciate your time and look forward to seeing you back here on a future episode. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.